Hey, it's us again. Yeah, is it Monday? Here. It's Monday.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's Monday. I'm sleepy today.
What else is new? You're always sleepy.
Yeah.
It's all those drugs.
Drugs.
That sounded kind of bad. It's not as bad as it sounds.
No, it's LGD 4033.
Yeah?
It's a SARM that I take. Yeah, it makes you fucking sleepy. It's like you take it. Well, it only makes you feel sleepy if you take a full dose of it. Usually, I take a real small dose of it. But if I take 10 milligrams of it, which is kind of like the street dose, it's like you've eaten a whole fucking Thanksgiving dinner. You just want to fucking fall asleep because your body tries to go into damn growth fucking mode. You know, healing mode. I only do it when I've worked out and I'm not healing up quick enough. You know what I mean? Like I'm like 3 or 4 days and I'm still kind of sore. I'll take some LGD if I can heal up faster. Because I got to get back in there and start working, you know. Motherfuckers got to get big, you know. I got bigorexia, I guess. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I think you do.
But it makes you kind of sleepy, you know. Well, it's good for things like osteoporosis and to combat fucking wasting and the effects of aging, you know. It does. It's fucking good anti-aging therapy, man. I'm fucking proof for this shit.
Sorry, I'm still hung up on Thanksgiving dinner. I was thinking,
yeah, it feels like Thanksgiving dinner, and you feel like you want to fucking
can't
fall
wait
asleep.
For that.
But
that's
then you
my favorite.
But you lay down to fucking take an old man nap, but you don't fall asleep. You just get that heavy lid feeling.
See,
you know?
That's what happens to me all the time. Yeah. Like I'm like, oh, I'm so tired, and then I fall asleep, and then 2 hours later,
yeah.
I wake up, and then like I'm just up the rest of the night, and I'm just like, thanks.
Yeah.
Insomnia, whatever. Yeah, so today we're going to be talking about another new movie on Netflix, the sequel to The Babysitter. This is called Killer Queen, but first, we have some shout-outs. I wanted to say hello, welcome, and thank you to our newest patron, whose name is Blake. So, hey there, thank you very much. Also, want to tell Ken, because I see him there in the comments, we made some waffle fries with that thing yesterday.
Yeah, they were good.
they were really good. We're going to make some more, so we got some more potatoes.
I got a lot of potatoes.
Yeah, we got a lot of potatoes.
You make the fries, the little basket in the bottom, you know, that's kind of sissy. That's for like making like one potato. I fucking got like 4 potatoes, so I just put it on top of the big bowl. And, all right, my advice to you, if you do use that method, you want to do what you do in a restaurant. You take all those, you make the fries, and you put them in a big bowl, and you fill it up full of water, rinse them out a couple times, and then just let them sit in water. And they'll crisp up quite a bit, you know what I mean? They'll get rid of a lot of starch, and they'll take on water, and they'll get a little bit bigger and crisper, and then fry it. They come out a lot more like what you're getting at, say, like McDonald's. Now, McDonald's will put a little bit of sugar
in the water. They put sugar in the water, yeah.
Yeah. Some people will put salt.
Yeah.
But I like sugar in it or nothing. You put a little bit of sugar in the water.
Yeah.
Mix it up, like a couple tablespoons. And then mix it up a little bit. Let it sit for a few hours. Let it absorb that water. Let it get rid of some of that starch. If you put them dead in there, especially if they're not real crisp potatoes, you'll get a bunch of foam coming up out of there. That's a problem. So make sure you soak those bitches.
Soak those bitches.
Soak those bitches.
That's another t-shirt.
Put some...
with a little potato on it.
So. Yeah, put some sugar in them. And then rinse all that sugar off, you know, when it's time to prepare it. And then when they come out of there, fucking sprinkle them a little bit of salt. Or some Cajun seasoning, man, some Tony's. That's if you're fucking badass.
We need to make some... We still got potatoes, right? We can make some more later.
I got a whole bunch.
We just had some, like, for a snack last night. We made, like, a little bowl.
And you want some of those... You want to use those white potatoes. White potatoes. And don't peel them. Just fucking let it roll.
Well, yeah, I always liked, and it's sad because
rustic
like
home fries.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of like fast food places and stuff don't do like those. Because KFC, like a long time ago, used to do those potato wedges that still had the skin on them, and it's like those were really good. Yeah. And I feel like not a lot of fast food places do that shit anymore, which is a shame. Because potatoes are delicious, and I don't know why they leave the fucking skins on there. And also, like 10 minutes before we started recording, I looked out on our little front porch. And there was a big box there. And I opened the box and check it out. I was like, okay, I'm so excited about this.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and move it without like pressing it.
Press it together. Press it together.
It is. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Look, you guys. Look. This is the Weeble Haunted Mansion. Oh, her half elf.
Yeah. It's got the little witch in it and all the furniture.
Little ghost.
Pick it up so they can see it.
Yeah, I'm trying. I can't see the kid.
That's classic. That's classic 70s stuff there.
Oh. I can't tell you how excited. This was from Jamie, otherwise known as Black Marigold, who is one of our patrons. And she said that, I might have mentioned it on the show, but she said that she had read my blog post about my favorite toys when I was growing up. And I kind of went on and on about the Haunted Mansion. And I was like, man, I wish I still had that. Like, I lost everything except for the witch, and I don't know where it was. Like, I thought, my mom said, oh, it might be in my attic, but, like, she never found it. So it's like, I don't know whatever happened to it. And I was like, man, that's a bummer. I wish I still had that toy because I love that. And so when I opened the box, as soon as I saw, like, that one white piece, like, the thing that goes on the chimney or whatever, I was like, no fucking way. So I was like, so thank you. Thank you so much. I am so, so excited about that present. That was, like, an early birthday present. And also, look, this was also included in the box, a little tiny moon pie.
Box of moon pie. I gotta get some banana moon pies.
I'm gonna put the moon pies. I'm gonna. Yeah. The ghost can eat the moon pies.
Yeah. Box of moon pies. Y'all don't know what you're missing. It's Southern delicacy.
Well, like I said, I'm not a big marshmallow fan.
Well, they got the chocolate moon pies and the banana moon pies. I like the banana ones.
Of course you do, because that's the grossest one.
Yeah. I told my story about making the banana moon pie sandwich, didn't I?
Wait, you made a banana moon pie sandwich? Yeah. Did you tell that story? I don't remember that.
I think I did. Wait, I took two banana moon pies and put fucking chocolate moon pie in the middle of it and tried to eat. This fucker was like that tall. And tried to finish that as a kid. I couldn't get it about halfway through it. I was just like, ugh.
Well, see, you spent too much time.
When you're 12
like,
or 13,
saying,
you know what I mean?
You know,
when you're 12 or 13, you come up with some crazy ideas, you know, and you're...
Yeah, and you didn't stop to think. You just wanted to think whether you could, but you didn't think whether you should.
Your stomach couldn't cash the check that your eyes wrote.
Exactly.
You know what I'm talking about?
That's exactly.
Yeah.
Ew, nanomapai.
Yeah, nanomapai.
That's so gross.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's like, thank you so much, Jamie, a.k.a. Black Marigold. That was like, that made my fucking day. Made my fucking month, I think, probably. Because I've been like lamenting the loss of that toy for like a really long time, because there's something about it that I really, really like. It's kind of like a doll has it opens, but I didn't want to like do it because the hinge.
Sandra said I did talk about it. She remembers it.
Yeah, I thought, once you started talking about, because I was sitting there going, wait, you put Nana Moon Pie like in between two pieces of bread? That's disgusting.
I was trying to make like an Oreo, like a big Oreo. Somebody messaged, it was like a cross between an Oreo and a hamburger. You know, you're fucking like 11, 12, you know, you're coming up with all kinds of fucking stupid shit, you know.
Well, yeah, kids are dumb.
You can't control it. It just happens.
Kids are dumb.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, let's talk about this movie for a little while, let's say. So the original movie, The Babysitter, came out in 2017, directed by McGee. Might have been his first movie. I'm not entirely sure. So I think it comes out on Netflix and was a surprise hit. And actually, I saw it either when it was new or maybe a year after it came out, and it was delightful. It's a delightful, delightful horror movie.
I didn't see the first one. So
it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. And Samara Weaving. We love Samara Weaving. She was really good in Ready or Not. She's also very good in that. If you guys haven't seen that, I also recommend that. That's a very good horror movie that came out last year. One of the things that I will... that I will ding this sequel for, Killer Queen, is that Samara Weaving isn't in it enough. She's not really in it until the end. They got pretty much the entire cast back, like with some new people as well. But she's kind of only in it at the end. And I was like, that's kind of a shame, because I feel like she was the best thing about the original movie, because she was in it pretty much the whole time.
I can't really give a good opinion on it because I didn't see the first one. So I really didn't invest myself in watching the second one. But I was in the room walking. It had a really good soundtrack. It looked good. And it had the tone that I tended to like. But I felt like I shouldn't be watching it because I didn't see the first one. So I didn't really pay attention to it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you necessarily have to have seen the first one, but it does kind of help.
Yeah. Well, because you were laughing at shit that I didn't get because you saw the first one.
Yeah.
About who the characters were and what had happened to them. So I felt like I was a little bit out of the loop, so I started doing other things. But based on what I saw, I'm going to give the movie a recommendation, but I'm going to say you want to watch the first one first.
Yeah, I mean, I would recommend it. Like I said, you could probably figure it out just from like a couple flashbacks and like the way they talk about it. Like you could still enjoy it, but I do think, and honestly, I'm going to say, right, I did like this movie. It's fun. It was enjoyable. Like, I had a good time watching it. Like, parts of it were funny. The first one is like a lot better. This one's good, but it's like not nearly as good as the first one. just, you know, for a lot of reasons, mostly because Samara Weaving isn't in it as much. Also, I felt like this one, I don't know, I'll get into it in a little bit. But so basically this one takes place 2 years after the events of the first film. And if you remember the first film where like all the people, you know, Cole was the kid and like, you know, Samara Weaving was B, that was his babysitter. And, turned out she was like the head of this cult and they wanted his virgin blood and all this other stuff. So he had to like kill them and like fight them off. So it's 2 years later. Apparently no one believes Cole about what happened because all the bodies disappeared because, you know, supernatural demonic shit and whatnot. So he's basically, he's in, like, I guess he's a junior in high school now, or it's, I don't know, he's like 2 years, or he's in junior high, I can't figure out how old he was supposed to be. But, but his parents are, like, worried about him because he keeps saying that, you know, he keeps insisting that there was this blood cult and everything, and no one believes him because there was, like, no evidence. So he's dealing with that, and, so, as it goes on, his, like, little cute little neighbor, like, gets him to kind of, like, walk on the wild side and, like, go out to this lake party that he's not supposed to go to. And it turns out that all of the people from the original blood cult, plus there are a couple of younger people, like, new recruits into the blood cult, come out to this lake house and they're still trying to get him and, like, sacrifice him so they can have, like, magic powers or they can come back from the dead, like, out of purgatory or whatever it is. That is, it's not that important. So, like I said, this one is, it's still real funny. Like, I think the funniest shit to me was, like, the part with, like, the guy who was, like, the nurse slash guidance counselor, like, at the beginning where he was talking to Cole about all that shit. That dude was hilarious. They needed more of him. Cole's dad and, what's-her-face is the other character that was in it. Phoebe, not Phoebe, that was, like, the dark-haired girl. Melanie, that's the other one, the little blonde. And her dad, who was like this video game playing, you know, pot smoking dork. And like, you know what I mean? And the interactions between the two of them were like really, really funny because just like the dad, like Cole's dad was like such a dad and he was like so awkward and weird and everything. Like talking about like lotion and masturbation and stuff. And then like the other dad, like Melanie's dad was just like this stoner who didn't give a shit where his daughter was. Like all he was worried about was where his car was, which was like, I think it was like a Firebird and it was like, or a Trans Am or something. And it was like fucking bright red with like flames and shit on it. It was like the most 80s car that ever 80s ed. And so
ever 80s ed.
Yeah. Okay. I wasn't sure where I was going to go with that, but that's what happens when you do a live show. But
teleprompter free.
Teleprompter free.
What I liked about the movie was the title of the movie. It was called Killer Queen.
And they did use that song.
They used that song, and in case people don't know who the Killer Queen is, Queen's the manager of Queen fucking was called the Killer Queen. Freddie Mercury called him the Killer Queen. And he was playing with him. He was this real tough British gangster who was their manager. He took care of him. He really took a good care of that band, and the band treated him like a member of the band.
Yeah.
The dude was straight as an arrow, just tough as shit, tough as nails, okay? Not gay at all, but he loved Freddie Mercury, and Freddie Mercury just loved him.
Who doesn't love Freddie Mercury?
And they were like best friends, you know? So Freddie's fucking doing shit like giving him female names and giving him a queer name and a girl name. And he
thought it was funny.
And he thought
just
that shit was great, you know what I mean? and fucking he'd go into the fucking, and he was tough, so they called him the Killer Queen. But he'd go in there and hold hands with Freddie when Freddie was fucking feeling bad, and, you know, and he'd sweet talk him and get him fucking feeling positive again. So, you know, this is just funny stories, you know. We saw a documentary on him, and he...
That dude was hilarious.
Yeah, he's hilarious. I forgot the guy's name. But that's who the Killer Queen is.
But yeah, he was funny. He reminded me, now that I'm thinking about it, he reminded me a little bit of that Welsh guy that's like, ah, like on the Fish and Anchor episode of the fucking...
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
He reminds me a little bit of that. Yeah, he wasn't Welsh, but he reminds me
of that. Yeah, if you ever saw the Fish and Anchor from Gordon Ramsay,
Kitchen
he's like that guy.
The UK one.
Yeah.
He reminds me of that.
Yeah. Karen! Instead of saying Karen, he just went, Karen! Calling his wife.
He couldn't be bothered to say her whole name,
yeah.
I guess. But yeah, so basically most of the action like takes place out at this lake house. You got Cole, you got all your original cult people from the first movie, plus like a new set of younger cult people just from this movie. And there's a new character, Phoebe, who's kind of this, you know, rebel chick, and she's also out at the lake, you know, for her own reasons, and, you know, she reluctantly starts helping Cole out, and they have to, like, fight the blood cult or whatever. So, as I said, now this is very much a horror comedy, which the first one was too. The one thing that I will say about this one is that I feel like, in a way that the first one wasn't, I feel like this one was a little try hard. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's super fun. It's entertaining. It's stupid, but it's supposed to be stupid. I do kind of feel like they could have dialed back on all the cultural references, because it seemed like a lot of them were just kind of shoehorned in. It was almost like flirting with scary movie, parody movie type of shit, like, which kind of like gets on my nerves. So they could have dialed that back some. But yeah, it was just, it has like a real wacky, over the top kind of vibe. Although I will say that like a lot of the kills and the gore and stuff like that, even though a lot of it is CGI, but it's still super, super funny. Like that one, the one chick that got like run over multiple times by the car, and then like they took her head off with a surfboard or something like that. Like, yeah. There's people exploding and like just fucking limbs going everywhere, and it's like super, super bloody. So I liked that about it. You know, like I said, this was a good movie. It's not nearly as good as the first one, but it's still like a pretty fun watch. And there was like some shit in there that like cracked me up and made me laugh out loud. Like, particularly, like I said, the two dads, their interaction, the fucking guidance counselor guy, that shit was funny. All the gore was real funny. I don't, like, a lot of the characters, the original cult people and, like, the new cult people, like I said, that a lot of their interactions were just kind of like, hey, cultural reference, hey, Kanye West, hey, this, that, and the other thing. You know what I mean? Hey, Kylie Jenner. I was just like, man, knock that shit off. I was like, you know what I mean? So they could have dialed that shit back a little bit, because I think it'll date the movie as well. Which maybe they don't care about, but
Pookie. Do not. Those are the collectibles. She got embarrassed and walked away. I wasn't messing with it. Yeah, you were. Don't try to play it off.
She likes to pretend.
She pretends like I wasn't doing anything wrong.
You yell at her.
Oh, so like, then she goes right back and does it again. Stop.
She's from a different angle.
No.
What? Igloo beer?
No.
She's like, what's the deal?
She's whining. I didn't do anything. She did do something.
Yes, she did. Go play with your envelope.
Yeah, go tear up some other shit.
I put that special envelope over there just for you.
So look, she goes right back over there and does it again. Okay, that's it. Somebody wants attention. Come here. Where are you running?
Just pick her up and play with her.
Where are you running? Where are you
going? Where are you going?
Why are you hiding? Come here.
Oracle says, I arrived just in time for a Pookie moment.
Come here.
Oh, she's Pookie. What's the matter, Pookie?
Yeah.
Don't be tearing stuff up. Daddy loves you. Daddy loves you.
Stop tearing shit up.
Yeah. Right. There you go.
Okay, you can get back to the show. Look at her. That's what she wanted.
Yeah. Well, she wants Daddy to play with her.
Yeah. That's wanted all. Attention, huh?
She's like, she knows if she makes noise, you'll come and yell at her and like pick her up and stuff. Attention. You know, this morning when I got back from my walk, I found Miss Beijing, our other kitty, you know, just sitting very proudly on the kitchen counter next to the sink.
Yeah, like what?
Like she was supposed to be there.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of, get down from there. And she was just like,
Yeah.
Then I had to turn the water on full blast. And then she was like, all right, fuck that. And then she jumped down. But I was like, what is she doing? I don't know. But yeah. So, as I said, this is, you know, I don't want to say too much about this movie. Because if you saw the first one, you'll probably like this one. Even though, like I said, it was a little frenetic. A little too much. A little too reference heavy. You know, just a little too zany, I guess. Or it wasn't so much zany, it was like kind of trying too hard to be funny. I think some of the stuff was like a little, you know, trying too hard to be funny. Like they were to the point where it was almost like on the edge of annoying. But you know, this is a good movie to watch if, you know, you're a few beers in, you just want to watch some people's heads explode. It takes a bit to get to that, but it's still pretty entertaining up until that point. Like it's almost like not a horror movie until like about the halfway point, you know, when he gets to the lake and when the cult people show back up and, you know, one person gets killed and then the whole blood sacrifice and they start chasing him and stuff. Up to that, it's almost kind of like a raunchy high school comedy. You know what I mean? There's not like a lot of horror elements before that.
It's a movie.
It's a movie.
Yeah.
What was it that you said the other day that I said they should put on the front of the DVD? It's like, what? Well, at least it's a movie.
At least it's a movie.
which is funny. I think they should, that's totally funny. But yeah, so if you're in the mood for it, I'm sure it's...
Talking about the Killer Queen makes you want to hear the song.
Well, actually, ever since I watched this movie the other night, that song's been stuck in my head, so, you know.
Yeah.
There's that.
Yeah, and if you guys, you know, fucking don't want to watch a movie, just fucking go on YouTube and just go, Queen, Killer Queen, the song. And that's about the manager.
Yeah.
And he was a cool dude.
I'm not entirely sure. I think they just called this movie Killer Queen so they could shoehorn that song in there. Which, I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, because I don't see the reference. I don't see how...
Well, I guess they're referring to Samara Weaving's character, B, because she does return, but like I said, not until the end. So maybe she's supposed to be... Mm-hmm. That character.
All right.
I'm just saying they're trying to like trade too much like on the nostalgia and everything. But like I said, you know, anytime you want to put a Queen song in a movie, that's fine. I'm not going to complain about it. But I think that's probably the only reason they called it that, just so they could put that
Mango's
song in.
Mango's asking me if there's a difference between a movie and a film. Yes.
Well, yeah, there is.
A movie is above a flick. Okay. And a film is above a movie. All right. And when you take you pronounce it kind of like the Anglo-Irish way, the film. That's when that shit fucking super classy. For me, most films are fucking unwatchable, though. This shit's too highbrow. Too highbrow for me.
I was going to say, can you give us an example of a film?
A film? A film would be like...
like perhaps something from Ingmar Bergman. Or
black and white. It's just
like
black
cries
and white.
And whispers.
And doing, yeah, right.
And
right.
There's like really long scenes of people looking sternly at one another.
And you look and it's like... A combat boot there for a long time, and then an egg comes and hits, pow, like that, and chicken goes, like that, and you're like, oh, yeah, yeah.
That was deep, man.
Yeah, the lighthouse was a film.
I loved that movie.
That was a film.
Thank you, Mango.
Thank you very much, Mango. That's for answering his questions.
Oh, and he says, great book review today. Thank you very much. I actually just did that. I have a couple other ones recorded, but I put that one up just because I watched the Netflix movie that was based on that book. Mm-hmm. And I want to thank you, Lennon. How's it going? It's going pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
Is I'm Thinking of Anything's a film. Yeah, I think I would call that a film. I'm just going to say, and if you haven't watched my book review yet about that book, the movie and the book, I liked the movie, but the movie and the book are very different.
Yeah.
I mean, the book is like... a psychological horror novel, whereas the movie is just like a weird indie film.
Pretty much anything Stanley Kubrick is a film.
But
film
not a,
is it's not,
not
a film.
Film.
Film that shit fucking. It's all,
that's kind of going into like pretentiousness territory.
Yeah, pretentious shit. But yeah.
Although it's I'm not shitting on Ingmar Bergman because I really like some of his movies.
Shit's pretentious. Shit's pretentious.
Did you ever see shit, man? What was that fucking movie that I was thinking of?
Cherry 2000's a flick.
Yeah, we were just talking about
that.
We
were just talking about it,
yeah. Because on another review we were doing.
All right. Fucking Escape from New York's a flick.
Yeah. Or it says cinema.
Yes, cinema. Cinema is when there's a lot of dancing in it. I think so.
I don't know if I agree with that nomenclature.
A bunch of dancing in it. I don't know. I think it's a musical. Cinema is a musical. A lot of them. I think, you know, like fucking My Fair Lady would be cinema, I think.
Yeah.
I was
going to say, I don't want to shit on Ingmar Bergman because if you guys have seen Hour of the Wolf, that is a fucking kick-ass movie. It is like creepy as shit. That's probably like the closest to a horror movie he ever did. And it's like really, really unsettling. I could see that David Lynch was a big fan of that movie.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying. But
David Lynch, those are films.
Those are films.
Those are films, yeah.
They're definitely films.
Yeah.
Depending on which one you're talking about, though, because he did a couple... That were, A Straight Story was pretty much kind of like a regular movie.
I don't understand a lot of the shit that he does, but it's at least it's kind of entertaining. It doesn't seem to be real pretentious.
It's not. I don't think it is.
It just seems to be fucking alien, and I like it, even though I don't understand it. You know, I don't understand a lot of the shit that he does.
But it does. But a lot of the shit he does have meaning. It's not.
Yeah,
that
it has
just,
meaning.
He's not just doing shit for the sake of it. Like, look how weird this is.
No, it has meaning. It has an art element to it. But you don't have to understand the art element to it to enjoy the movies. I enjoyed it, I guess. Like, you know the one fucking with what's his name? Guy constantly on the phone due to kill his wife.
Lost Highway.
I saw Lost Highway twice. I didn't understand it.
That's a creepy
film. But I kind of liked it. You know.
That and Mulholland Drive are almost like two sides of the same coin. They're thematically very similar. Although I like Mulholland Drive better, but I like Lost Highway too.
I'm going to give it to Kubrick, though.
Yeah.
I'd rather see Kubrick, yeah.
And then I was talking to somebody about Inland Empire the other day. I need to watch that shit again, even though it's like 3.5 hours long, but it's like, that was a fucking freaky ass movie. I still haven't figured that one out. And I figured most of David Lynch's other stuff out, but he's very into like weird identity switching and all this kind of stuff. But
I'm just going to say Stanley Kubrick's the best director, just in general.
Yeah, well, he's definitely in my top five, top three, even, now that I'm thinking about it. Ken says, would you rather a book mirror a movie or vice versa? And which do you prefer to be better if dissimilar? I almost always prefer the book if I've read it. Not always. I know this is kind of an off the wall example, but the only example I can think of offhand where I liked the movie better than the book was The Hunger. The book was by Whitley Strieber, who was kidnapped and probed by aliens, apparently, which he explained in his book Communion. But he's kind of crazy. Now, the book The Hunger was good, but I liked the movie much, much better. Just because I liked the look of it. I liked the vibe of it. Now, because I was talking about in the book review earlier, I'm thinking of ending things. I liked the movie, but I liked the book a lot better because the book was more... it wasn't straightforward, but it was more a creepy horror story, whereas the movie didn't seem like horror at all to me.
Now, Badger's saying all the Carpenter is a film, and I'm going to have to disagree. No. He was across the board. Because some of that stuff that had Carpenter's name on it, like Ghosts of Mars, that was a flick. That was a flick.
I don't even know if I sat through that whole
entire
movie.
I'm not even sure that was a flick. That was pretty bad.
What's the level below a flick?
Oh man, below a flick would be fuck. Flicks are enjoyable.
See? Yeah,
it would just be shit, you know, bad, you know. And some of the stuff that he made, I think, was bad. But I'm not sure he actually did it.
Yeah, that might have been at some point where he was just kind of like, "Fuck it, you guys do it. Just put my name on it, like it says in the contract. I'm gonna go home and take a nap."
But you know, fucking Carpenter had some masterpieces, The Thing being one of them. Thing's a fucking... I love The Thing.
I do too. I can watch it over and over again. I never get tired of it.
That's a good film, all right? Horror, sci-fi. And Escape from New York, I think tonally it was a good movie. It needed a little more action. It's not quite an action movie.
Yeah.
It needed some more action in it. But, man, just the tone, the setting, the characters, it worked. It's kind of like, you know, better than The Warriors. Remember that? Remember that?
Yeah.
And it was from...
Come Out and Play.
And it was kind of like in that era, in that genre, you know. Although, man, I remember that Warriors. So back in the day, we thought that was some kind of hardcore movie. You go back and see it today, it is fucking...
Like I said, everybody looks like extras from West Side Story.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. This is like West Side Story shit here, man.
But all like, I said, West Side Story, they weren't like supposed to be because it's supposed to be a musical. So
it's like Michael Jackson's Bad video.
Yeah, it's like, ooh, look at how tough everyone is.
But you look at it now, it's not shit. That shit didn't play out well.
Yeah.
I mean, you could say Assault on Precinct 13 was tougher feeling than...
It was.
Than that.
It was. Yeah. Louis also asked, how about Prince of Darkness?
Hold on. One second. There's somebody at the door.
Oh, okay. I do not love Prince of Darkness. I like Prince of Darkness. I like the idea behind it. I like, I don't know. It has like almost like a Dario Argento kind of feel to it.
Yeah, I got it in. It was just packaged.
Oh, okay. It has like a Dario Argento feel to it, which I like, and I like the concept, but I don't know. The execution is just a little lacking for me. Prince of Darkness.
Prince of Darkness is a mess.
Yeah.
Is Prince of Darkness, that's the one with...
That's the one with the canister full of green stuff.
Yeah. That's Carpenter.
With Donald Pleasance. Yeah. Carpenter. That's why Louis was asking.
It's a mess.
I can watch it. It's like entertaining, but I don't know. Like, I like the concept of it better than the execution.
He didn't know where he was going. I think he was making stuff up as he was going along.
Which sometimes works, but not always. Yeah. What was that?
She's her calling, walking in.
She walked in. It was like, "Woo!"
Yeah.
baby.
Actually, what I liked better than that, even though it really didn't have much of a payoff, was The Fog. The original The Fog, tonally, and just the concept of it, that really should have been a hit. There wasn't enough horror in it. there wasn't enough gore.
And he even he went back later on and like put more gore in there, but it still wasn't. Yeah, because I mean that was the age of the slasher. No one really wanted to see like an old school ghost story at that point, I guess.
Yeah.
But you know.
But still, and you know, and what was the other one that he did that I liked that nobody else seemed to like? He did Halloween 3, and didn't he do Halloween 3? Yeah. Season of the Witch.
Yeah.
Wasn't that Carpenter?
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked that
one. Or he had something to do with it. I don't remember if he directed it or if he produced it.
I liked that one.
Yeah. A lot of people hated that one. Well, I think it's... People hated it at the time, but I think it's kind of got a critical like reassessment. Because I feel like a lot of people like it nowadays.
The deal with that is I saw that like on Cinemax or HBO right after it came out. And I had never seen a Halloween movie. I didn't see one or two at that point. So I didn't have any preconceived notions of what it was supposed to be about.
So it was just, to you, it was just like a cool movie.
It was just a movie.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know anything about Michael Myers or anything. I wasn't in that universe.
Yeah, he just produced it.
He produced it? All right. I liked that movie.
That's what I thought. I thought someone else.
Because it had a lot of the same actors that he worked with in it.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Good old Tom Atkins.
Yeah, Tom Atkins was in it. Another good one that's forgotten at the time was The Hand. Fucking loved it.
That's not John Carpenter.
I know that, but I'm just saying.
I was gonna say, as far as underrated John Carpenter goes, I really like Body Bags, the anthology. We reviewed it a while back.
Yeah,
I really like that movie.
It's good.
Yeah. You done?
Yeah, I'm done.
All right.
Getting sleepy.
Oh, okay. You better go take your old man nap. Actually,
I won't be able to sleep. I'll just lay there.
We haven't even eaten anything today, I don't think. I've had one cup of yogurt. I think that's about all I've eaten today, and it's like 3:30. And I had a cup of coffee.
Mouth of Madness was good, too.
I like that one as well.
I haven't seen Starman in forever, but...
I remember liking that at the time, but I haven't seen it for...
I'm not sure how well that aged.
Probably since I was in my 20s.
Yeah.
So, that's been a while since I've seen that. So we'll have to rewatch that.
Mouth of Madness was a good kind of
And Christine, I keep forgetting.
Yeah.
I love Christine. That's one of I feel like that's another one that's like underrated.
Yeah, and there was another one that his friend did. he did The Firestarter. That was a good one. That was Carpenter's friend. What was his name?
I'm drawing a blank.
wasn't that the same guy who did Videodrome?
No.
Okay.
No.
I thought it was.
He did Dead Zone. David Cronenberg.
Cronenberg. All right. Cronenberg. Dead Zone was another really good one.
Yeah. I can't remember.
There was only a few really good fucking Stephen King movies, really.
Well, it's weird. People say that, but I feel like...
The Stand TV series was pretty good.
Children of the Corn was okay.
I haven't seen it in a long time.
I mean, all the... it was a lot different than the short story, but the movie was okay.
Yeah.
And Christine was good. But there's a lot of good ones. I mean, Misery, The Green Mile,
That's right.
Dead Zone.
Hand was Oliver Stone. You got it.
Yeah, that's right.
I have it on DVD.
We reviewed that, I think.
Yeah, there's no Blu-ray release for it.
Yeah.
Another good one that also had old fucking... What's that British dude's name that's in that movie?
Michael Caine.
He would scare the shit out of me when I was a kid, man. He seemed like... seemed like he was on the edge of fucking you up. You know what I mean? Like he was going to fucking slap you or something. Him and the other dude.
Oliver Reed.
Oliver Reed.
I knew exactly who you were talking
about. Oliver Reed was like one drink away from stomping you in the ass. I was scared of both of those guys.
How awesome would that have been to have seen like a really bad like drunken slap fight between Michael Caine and Oliver Reed?
Yeah. They seemed like fucking angry. They seemed like...
Angry drunks.
They seemed like angry alcoholics. And there was something fucking kind of terrifying about them when you were as a kid. And there was Michael Caine was in a good one called The Island. I have that shit on DVD.
Yeah, we reviewed that too.
Yeah. DVD or Blu-ray. I don't think there was a Blu-ray release. And it's taking place off the Florida Keys here. And seeing it again after so long and fucking seeing the Florida vibe that movie has. Fucking they find them old fucking pirates, inbred pirates out on the fucking islands.
And David Warner's in it.
David Warner's in it too.
That bitch is in everything.
That's a fucking badass movie. Mango, if you haven't seen The Island, man, you need to see that one. Hard to find, I think.
Yeah, because like I said, we did a review of that quite a long time ago.
Yeah.
I was just having like a funny like mental picture of Michael Caine. How much better would Jaws 4 have been if it would have just been an hour and a half of Michael Caine punching a shark?
That'd been pretty good.
I would have watched that, not gonna lie.
Yeah.
All right, so we're gonna wrap it up, go have some Mexican food, because that's what we're having today.
Yeah, I'll make some.
And then Tom will take an old man nap, and I have some design work I got to do.
Yeah.
So we got to cut it off. So let me out of here.
Let me out of here.
All right, we'll be back tomorrow at same time, probably talking about another new Netflix movie, because I saw another one that we're
going to review. Mango says he has the island. That's a good movie. I liked it.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, I liked it.
All right, so we will talk to you guys again tomorrow. So, bye.